You're listening to the News Project Podcast for the week of March 8th, 2021, brought to you by GNAT TV. This podcast brings you these stories. Second Chance, Pets and Pandemic, The Zamboni, and Energy Efficiency from Sunderland.
One of the many outcomes that the COVID-19 pandemic brought with it over the past year has been a desire by many people to acquire a pet dog or cat. So much so that in some places, the supply of dogs and cats for adoption has been tight. The agencies that seek to match up people and pets have also had to work through their own set of restrictions stemming from the pandemic. Down at the Second Chance Animal Center in Arlington, Kathy Komar, the shelter's executive director, told us how the facility had coped with the pandemic and how the supply of cats and dogs and the humans who want them was playing out.
We always have a lot of people contacting us all the time about adoptions, and you know, some actually go through and some don't go through because you know, you got to have a good connection, especially with a dog. But what we did see is we suddenly, for the first time ever, had a very lengthy waiting list for kittens. A lot of people wanted kittens this year. And so our kitten waiting list was sometimes 4 to 6 weeks people had to wait. Once they were approved for adoption, they would have to wait a good month and a half to 2 months before they were able to get a kitten. And we, even though we had less people working last year, the number of cats that we brought in were only 50 less than we brought in 2019. So we brought in almost the same number of cats and kittens and did almost the same number of adoptions last year that we did the year before. There was, for our dogs, it slowed down a bit. We did have some people who were interested in dogs, but you know, that connection with a dog is so important that, you know, if we don't think it's the right fit and the adopter doesn't think it's the right fit, that dog will stay here until we do find that right fit. So some of our dogs ended up staying a little bit longer than they normally would have. But I think there were so many animals available at so many shelters and rescues that people were able to pretty quickly find what they were looking for last year. So our spay-neuter clinic, that's still going on. We even expanded it last year, which is great. We also do dogs here at the shelter for the public. Last year we had to cancel our vaccine clinic that we normally do in the spring month. And we're going to try to get that on the schedule the next couple of months. It's going to be all outside, drive through. We're hoping if maybe things work out and we can open that door even more by the end of the summer, you know, start to do some more activities in the community and start getting out there again so that people remember who we are and what we do and maybe want to, you know, join us as volunteers. Our cats have really missed our volunteers. That's been sad. Luckily, we've had a handful of volunteer dog walkers who have come in on a regular basis, and our surgical assistant is a volunteer once every couple of weeks, so she's now back here helping us too. So we're looking forward to seeing people again.
You can also visit Second Chance's website at 2ndchanceanimalcenter.org for more information. For the GNAT TV News Project, I'm Andrew McKeever.
Hey folks, it's Haas with GNAT News, and today I'm in Manchester at the Riley Rink, and today it's all about the Zamboni. Very cool. Okay, Ian.
Yes, sir.
So what do I call you, a Zamboni master?
Technically, this is called an ice resurfacer.
Gotcha.
So Zamboni is technically just a brand name. We are ice resurfacing operators.
So if I think of Tupperware.
Correct.
Zamboni, so there could be, there are many ice resurfacers, but there's only one Zamboni.
There's correct. It's over 10 brands of ice resurfacers around the world.
Got it. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to mask up. I'm going to grab the camera, and then he's going to show us how this beast works.
So how does this beast work?
So we've got an engine here, obviously. This is a Ford engine. This propels the machine. It is propane powered. Right here, we're looking at a 200-gallon floodwater tank. And inside here is a 75-gallon wash water tank.
Now wait, before you go on, what's the difference?
So the difference is the floodwater is what you lay down absolute last. The wash water is what comes out before your squeegee in the conditioner, and it mixes with some of the shavings and helps clean the ice and pack in the very deep ruts that are created by skate blades.
Gotcha, okay, all right. And then this is related to what's above us, right?
Correct. This is the top chute for the vertical auger, which when the snow shavings make their way up, they're ejected through this into the snow dump tank.
Which would be this. So just out of curiosity, that tank of water and this size bin, does that handle one complete thing around the ice? Or
it does. You want to try to lay down as much water as you're taking up snow. So if I take up a full bin of snow, I want to make sure I lay down a full bin of water.
So there's a little, is there a learning curve to that?
There is, absolutely. Because right. You can fill this up pretty quick and leave yourself hanging with an empty water tank and a full bin of snow.
Gotcha. So those first days on the job can be kind of stressful.
Yes, absolutely. Especially
during a game, I would.
Absolutely. That is the last time you want to fill up. Correct. So then underneath here, obviously, so we've got what's called a board brush. And this is used for your initial pass around the boards. And it collects up all the loose bits of snow shavings that are around the kick plate.
Gotcha.
And sends them underneath the machine to be collected by what we have here is our conditioner. And this is where all the magic actually happens.
And this is this big, long piece that's hanging from the
Correct.
Front. Gotcha.
And inside here, we have our horizontal auger, which has corkscrews that bring in the snow from each end into the center. And then inside here, there are two paddle bits that send it to the base here of our vertical auger. And that goes all the way up here. The shavings hit a fan here. And that's what shoots them into the snow tank.
In terms of driving this thing, can you tell me a little bit, does it handle like a car or a truck, or how does it handle?
It actually handles a lot like a tractor.
It's
a glorified tractor. It does not go fast. You know, we're averaging just over 9 miles an hour with the machine.
Gotcha.
So it handles, you're moving very slowly, so the turning is very, very smooth. It's an easy, smooth ride because you're on a flat sheet of ice.
Got it. Can you bump into things, or is it very easy to control, or is it?
You can if you're not careful. Once you have water on the ice itself, it becomes a lot more slick, so you can bump into the
bump
boards.
Into
you do have a guard roller up front
that
will keep you from running through, kind of a guidance part.
And how much does one of these things cost? Do you have a sense?
So the average Zamboni or ice resurfacing machine will run you anywhere from $75,000 upwards to
$150,000. Wow. So. Okay. So when you got to get this fixed, can you drive it on the highway to a garage?
No, unfortunately. So what we do here at Riley Rink, we have people come and service it, but if we had to bring it to a shop, we'd have to have it freighted over. So they'd have to come with a flatbed loaded up. They are not street legal.
Gotcha. All right. Give me one of those weird details that are cool.
So one of the things that I really love about this machine in particular, this is a 1997 Model 520 Zamboni, and we have 6,750 hours on our machine, which each hour equivalates to 33 miles.
Gotcha.
So this particular machine has just over 222,000 miles on it, which is actually almost 9 trips around the Earth. And it's all been done right here inside Riley Rink.
To learn to drive this, is there like a driver's license?
You do need to be 16 years old with a valid driver's license to operate one of these machines. However, it takes plenty of hours of training in order to be not certified but qualified to drive on your own.
Can you give us some of the history of this thing?
Absolutely.
I mean, I guess all the way back to the beginning, maybe?
Yeah, absolutely. So prior to the ice resurfacer's invention, it would take a crew of about 3 to 5 people, about 4 to 5 hours per day to resurface a sheet of ice. And they would usually only do it once per day, either beginning of the day or at the end of the day. And that would take them, they would have to shave the ice down, shovel all the bits to one end, then they would have to wash the water, get the dirt and debris off, and then they would lay down a final fresh coat of water. Actually, in 1949, in Paramount, California, a gentleman by the name of Frank Zamboni Sr. Patented the first ice resurfacing machine, and they were the top brand in the game till about 40 years ago, when a gentleman in Elmira, Ontario, invented the Olympia brand ice resurfacer. And now there's over 10 different brands across the world.
I've got one more question.
Absolutely.
When it's all quiet here, there's no one around, even the boss is gone, do you ever rev this thing up and try to do donuts?
Between you and me?
No, it's going to be between everyone. Wait, what was the answer?
Just a couple sometimes. You have to actually, it's really good to know what this machine is capable of when it's out of control. So actually, during training, it's actually good to learn what it's like when it skids out of control a little.
How very cool is that? Yeah. All right. Hey, I hope you all enjoyed it. Ian, again, thank you so much
for
having us here.
Haas.
And okay, Haas GNAT News, we'll see you out there somewhere. Take care.
We continue our series on home weatherization and energy-saving efficiency improvements you can adopt and incorporate into your own home that will not only help reduce carbon emissions, but save you money. We're back in Sunderland, where Jeff Dexter, a founding member of the Sunderland Energy Committee, takes us on a tour of his home and garage, and with a nod to the e-bikes and gasoline electric hybrid car, to show what he did to make his home not only better insulated, but overall more energy efficient. We also get a close-up look at the Tesla Powerwall he has installed, which provides a backup source of electrical generation for those occasions when the power goes off. Our tour starts with a trip to the basement, and Jeff takes it from there.
The insulation that we had done by Vermont, or spray foam insulation, they came down 4.5 feet all around this utility room and insulated with the spray foam. We had this done about 4 years ago. We also had the attic done at the same time, and the cantilever where our front living room goes out a little bit underneath there was a tremendous loss of heat. And we'd say that over the last 4 years, we've probably cut our heating by about 25%. So we're looking at a payback of about 4 years for this particular, the insulation project. Again, we went with spray foam through Vermont foam, and we also got a rebate from Efficiency Vermont. So that made it, you know, even more affordable. So. And this is the Bradford White heat pump hot water heater. It's an 80 gallon. It replaced our electric heat pump, or I'm sorry, our electric water heater. And this was about $1,400, a good deal more than a regular water heater, but we got a $600 rebate from again, Efficiency Vermont. We bought this from FW Webb right down in Bennington, and it heats the water through air that comes in. There's a filter up here, And it saves about 60% electricity over the old water heater that we had. So here we're looking at about a 3 to 4 year payback period. And here with our solar power, we put it on the garage because to put it on the house, we would have had to take down almost all of these evergreen trees. Doing it on the garage is obviously south facing, so that's optimal. We only had to take down 2 trees so that the shade wouldn't block the solar out. So we got 16 panels, and it's the 25-year warranty. We went with Grassroots Solar out of Dorset to install this. We can look at the payback in about 9 to 10 years. Our electricity bills went from about $100 average per month down to $15. These 16 panels take care of the entire electric need of our house. The house is about 2,400 square feet. And we also got a 30% at the time. This was about 3 years ago. At the time, we got a 30% federal tax credit. I think that's down to like 22 or 25% now. Yeah, so then we went and got a couple of electric bikes. Very affordable. The company is Aventon. They're out of California. And these things are... We haven't been out too much yet with them. We've been out twice, but we're looking to go to the grocery store. That's where we got the basket. This one will have a basket on it.
What do we got here?
After we got the solar, we found out Green Mountain Power had a program to get Tesla batteries, which is just like a generator. And it has helped us in about 15 power outages. One of them that lasted 18 hours a couple years ago. The deal, and I don't know if it's still available, it may be, was you get this for $1,500 installed by Tesla. They're based over near Schenectady. That's the closest one. And it has to be through a solar panel arrangement. But it stores the electricity, and when there's a power outage, you don't even know that the power has gone out. This makes no noise. The lights don't flicker. The TV doesn't go on and off for a second. We actually have to look out to see no lights anywhere else to see that there's a power outage. And as I said, it can go up to about 24 hours powering the entire house. You don't have to not use much. I mean, if you don't use certain things, you're going to have it longer, but... The whole house can be powered. The only thing is that GMP will be able to draw from this in peak demand hours if there's no storm forecast. And when they do that, they will then re-energize it, charge it up to 100% within 2 or 3 hours. So that's how you can get a $1,500 battery. Normally would cost about $8,000 or more installed. You can buy these, but again, $1,500. So this pretty much paid for itself pretty quickly with all the power outages and you know, not having or having electricity to deal with it. So wall, when that is lit up, then that means the battery is on and it's going right to the house. But obviously we don't.
The Sunderland Energy Committee meets about once every month on average and also has a Facebook page for updates. For the GNAT TV News Project, I'm Andrew McKeever.
Thanks for listening local. For more local content, visit GNAT.tv.